In Macon, Georgia, relics of a remarkable period in American music history are in danger. City officials say they may have no choice but to demolish the crumbling original headquarters of Capricorn Records. The now defunct label played a key role in the birth of Southern rock and soul music. And as Adam Ragusea reports, the Capricorn building isn't the only cultural artifact that could soon fade away in Macon.
To understand what the old Capricorn Records building represents, check out a 1967 promotional video featuring Carla Thomas, the Queen of Memphis Soul, and Otis Redding, the madman from Macon.
You know what, Otis? I don't care what you say. You're still a tramp.
What?
That's right. You haven't even got a fat bankroll in your pocket.
Actually, he does. The man who wrote such hits as Respect and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay is then shown counting his money in front of a sign. It says Red Wall Music Building, 535 Cotton Avenue. Red in Red Wall stood for Redding, as in Otis. Wall was for his manager, Alan Walden, who still lives outside Macon.
Just the sheer fact that this was Otis Redding's office alone should be enough to preserve this building.
Redding never got the chance to record for Capricorn Records, the label that Alan Walden and his brother Phil launched in 1969. The singer died in a plane crash 2 years before. But in a way, the relationship between Redding and Walden previewed what would make Capricorn and Macon so important through the 1970s.
Otis Redding was my best friend in life. You know, I mean, I love this man.
That friendship showed what could be unlocked when Southern blacks like Redding and Southern whites like the Waldens united to make music. The Waldens based their label in the Red Wall building. Their most successful act featured a young white guitarist, Duane Allman, of the Allman Brothers Band. Just around the corner from the Capricorn building, there's a smoky dive bar where the Allman Brothers and Leonard Skinner, among others, cut their teeth. Grant's Lounge calls itself the home of Southern rock. But a few weeks ago, five people were shot out front following a late-night argument. Now the landlord is trying to shut the place down as the neighborhood converts into Tony Lofts. Singer and guitarist Big Mike Ventimiglia sits in a corner booth, reminiscing.
You know, in the 70s, black people and white people didn't play together. But in Macon, Georgia, they could come to Grant's and play together, and it was not only nothing said, it was encouraged. And a lot of good music came from that mixture.
Co-owner Ed Grant Jr.'s father opened the place in 1971.
You had country bands coming through and you had blues bands coming through. So I always tell the story, you had country get in bed with the blues and out came Southern rock. And that's where Southern rock was born, right here in, at Grant's Lounge.
That's right, right in this building.
In this building.
Keep on smiling through the rain.
Another piece of Macon's music history is also in danger, Capricorn's old studio building. A local nonprofit has long-standing plans to rehab it into a museum with lofts upstairs. While the project awaits private investment, the structure is deteriorating.
That floorboard almost just gave way underneath me.
Still, fans can get a tour of the place by reservation.
So here we are in one of the original echo chambers down in Capricorn Studios. The way they would have done this is they would have taken a speaker, they would have put it at one end of this little room. They would have put a microphone on the opposite end of the room, and the microphone would have picked up the music coming out the speaker, but with all the added echo of these tiles and everything.
We're not done with our tour of threatened Macon music historic sites yet. Little Richard Penniman grew up in Macon in a modest house that now lies in the way of a massive interstate expansion plan. Rather than wreck the dilapidated Victorian, the Georgia Department of Transportation plans to move it and convert it into a community center. Last year, I got to ask the ailing Penniman what he remembers about the place.
All I remember that it was the old house with a bathroom, toilet stool in the hallway. And had some good meals there. and I had a good mama there. My mother, she was a good lady.
The era when Macon set the tone for American music, beginning with Little Richard in the 1950s, ended in the early 80s. Jessica Walden, daughter of Capricorn Records co-founder Alan Walden, leads music history tours here.
Macon did have a moment where it could have evolved with the new wave punk scene, but we actually lost two members of REM to Athens, Georgia.
Bassist Mike Mills and drummer Bill Berry grew up in Macon.
Bill Berry, who interned at this very building where we're standing when it was Capricorn Records.
Imagine if they'd signed him. Now, you might be thinking, who knew Macon, Georgia played such an outsized role in the story of American music? Well, Walden contends if these relics aren't preserved, no one will know.
We don't seem to get interested in these places until they get to the point of no turning back.
She hopes that's not the case here in Macon. For NPR News, I'm Adam Ragusea.
I left my home.